When you have to stop but don't really want to, stop at BP. Because BP has everything you need to keep it going. Fuel to keep the adventures going. The BP Me app to keep the savings and the commutes going. Snacks and drinks to keep the crew going. And the BP Me Rewards Visa to keep the rewards going and going and going. A stop at BP isn't a stop at all. Keep it going.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It's absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. And I'm excited because, you know, obviously the Juwan Jennings deal, we're going to talk about that, break that down some. But we also learned a little bit more just about what the 49ers coaching staff, namely Chris Forster, the offensive line coach, values in his philosophy, just a roster construction, because I think it tells us a little bit about these deals that are taking place. And on top of that, the Ayuk deal, I want to put that into perspective and look at it from a holistic NFL standpoint, because the narrative that kind of got spread really, really quick, and, you know, wherever it came from, I don't really care. The whole idea was, man, you can't pay two top wide receivers. Well, that has been proven a myth as of today. We'll talk about that with the new deal to Jalen Waddle, what that looks like, but they're not even the only team. So we're going to try to build a perspective kind of around just the NFL, the salary cap, some myths to what's being pushed out there, and try to put some concrete evidence to why they are myths and not a reality, and why what the 49ers are doing kind of makes sense. So we'll do the Juwan Jennings deal. Then we'll take a step back, look at the Debo, Ayuk, Jennings contracts together within the salary cap, and compare that to some of the other teams in the NFL. And then we're going to conclude our show as we do in the offseason and our best of series. The number that we got, who was the best to ever wear? Number 36. For the 49ers franchise. I'm pretty excited about this one. I spent way too much time this morning. This is a later show than normal because I went down a rabbit hole and started having a really, really good time with the nostalgia. I even got the hat going if you're watching the live one. I got my new like 90s style, forget what the Solo Cup, whatever, the Zach Attack. I don't know what they're called, but whatever. We're rocking the nostalgia today. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, before we jump in and say what's up to the live audience, and I really appreciate everybody that's joining us, we do have an announcement to make. We started doing this last year where we would try to create opportunities to get fans to games that maybe don't get the opportunity too often. And so with the 49ers opening at home, Monday Night Football against the Jets, baby, we decided to do another one of our ticket giveaways. And so the good news is we got a lot more time on this one. The winner is going to be announced 3 weeks before the game time. I think it's August 19th. We'll announce it live on air. But if you want to take part, you want to take a chance at that, they're $20 for an entry. And if this is not your thing, just don't worry about it. But for other people, I mean, we sent somebody to the Super Bowl last year in a similar situation. And so just try to constantly create avenues in which we could get people awesome 49ers experiences. So if you want a chance to go to the 49ers Monday Night Football game versus the Jets, we're giving away two club seats between the 20s. Now, depending on how many of these we sell or whatever, we'll upgrade accordingly. Not trying to make money on this, trying to make dreams a reality. And we've gotten a lot of positive feedback on this. So if you want to participate in that, you just head to the 49ersrush.com, our main website. And, you know, I'll share this here. You just click on that top button that says Verse Jets Monday Night Football. You click on that. You can get one entry for $20. You can get three entries for $50. You get a pick. Buy as many entries as you want. And the database builds as you guys do that. And we'll get those tickets sent out to you. And we'll do, you know, a live drawing, whatever you want to call it, on air 3 weeks before the trip, before the game. So you have plenty of time to build whatever your plans are. But, yeah, we just want to try to constantly find ways to get more awesome experiences for the communities. That's why we do all the giveaways and all the stuff and whatever. And obviously the Rush Road Trip, that's there as well. But yeah, go check it out. The49ersRush.com. The link is at the top of the description of this video or podcast platform. What's up, Phil? He was the first in the chat today. My main man. We got Josh, Noe, Rook. Man, everybody showed up. This is awesome. I love it. I'm not even going to be able to get to all the names today. That's what I like to see. Go Niners and go John. I love it. Now, Josh starts us off. Josh is a producer of this show. He does a lot of work for us. I really appreciate him. He says, you know, I love Jennings, but personally, I think we overpaid a bit. Now, let's look at just the deal in and of itself, okay? What we know. And I'm just going to be honest with you. As soon as all these deals get brought up and talked about and whatever else, we don't know a lot. There's so much funny money with NFL contracts. It's not baseball where it's 100% guaranteed no matter what. You don't know. Void years, guarantees. There's not even guarantees. There's true guarantees. Then there's guarantees, which is a completely separate thing. Because you could have it kick in on a certain date. So if he's on the roster bonus at January 3rd, 2025, well, that's considered a guarantee, but that's not a true guarantee. You see what I'm saying? There's just a lot of nuance to these contracts, and it's just a mess. But here's what we know, okay? Oh, that's all we're going off of, what we know. The conjecture we'll leave out. There's 100,000 podcasts that deal only in conjecture. We don't want to be that show. So, two-year extension. Now, here's where I've already seen people online kind of missing some of the point. Juwan Jennings never signed his restricted free agent tender. Never signed it. So that deal never went into place. So this deal does not add on to. It voids out, in fact, because that deal never was in place. He never signed it. Deal never came to fruition. So you're operating from a zero-sum standpoint. It's a two-year extension, but you're not building off of a current contract, right? His past contract expired, two-year extension. It's basically almost like signing a free agent. That's why they call it a restricted free agent. He got a two-year deal, $15.4 million spread out over those 2 years with $10.5 million guaranteed. We don't know the void years yet. We know that you average those numbers out, 2 divided by 15.4, $7.7 million per year, okay? $7.7 million per year. That's what we're operating on, and it seems to be, whether right or wrong, that's a separate conversation. How do you measure all these contracts? At the NFL, for their compensation pick formula, they choose to go off of average per year. It seems that's kind of what players, agents, teams, you can kind of rank them that way. And so that's kind of the construct that we're going to use. It's flawed with void years and funny money and whatever. I get that, bonuses, but that's what we're going by. Okay, so that's what we got. $7.7 million a year for 2 years. Now, the deal that he would have gotten, which he had no choice. He either signs the restricted free agent or he holds out, contract tolls. He'd be in the same situation next year, whatever else, was 1 year, $4.9 million per year. So why would the 49ers do this? Why would Juwan Jennings do this? Okay. Juwan Jennings gets generational money right now for 2 years and gets to stay on the 49ers. He had to stay on the 49ers for 1 year. Had to. He had no choice. Restricted. He cannot negotiate with other teams. No team chose to offer a second round pick to take him. He had no choice. He was on the Niners this year, 1 year, period. So what he gets, Juwan Jennings gets 2 years with the Niners. Super Bowl window is going to be open for those 2 years, guaranteed, right? And a lot more guaranteed money. Would have got 4.9. Now he gets 10.5. So he basically doubles up on guaranteed money with just a little bit extra incentives on top of it. Then he can go for the big contract with another team after that, which is my assumption that's probably going to be the case. Why would the 49ers do this? Man, they are in the business of making sure that they get to keep premium talent. Now, you look at the statistics, Juwan Jennings ain't him. Statistically, you talk about, how do I want to say this? When you look at when the 49ers drafted Ricky Pearsall, And everybody's like, oh, he's taking Jennings' job. I was just like, man, not so fast. And the most common response was, if a first-round pick can't beat out somebody that has 19 catches on the year, that's all Juwan Jennings had last year. 19 catches. That's it. That's it. If he can't beat that guy out, then you got a problem. And I'm just like, man, I don't know. I feel like the same people that responded that way were the same ones that talk about sack totals. It's just, or Super Bowl wins are the only thing that count. Man, it's way more nuanced than that. Yeah, has Juwan Jennings been elite from a stat production standpoint? Hell no. No. His rookie year, he sat out the entire rookie year. So the contract told, that's why he's a restricted free agent. He had 24 catches in 2021. He had 35 catches in 2022. Then he had 19 this year. But then you look at the playoffs. He had 10 catches in the playoff run and probably would have been runner-up at worst for Super Bowl MVP. Could have been Super Bowl MVP if he would have had, you know, one more big catch or whatever. Like, the dude shows up at big-time moments. Third and Juwan, that is a real, real thing. So now let's put these numbers, right? Okay, let's step outside of the 49ers framework and let's look at the NFL. This $7.7 million per year, what does that mean in the NFL scope of NFL wide receivers, okay, across the NFL? It makes him the 35th highest paid wide receiver on an average per year basis. That's 7.7. 35. It's kind of high whenever you think about it with, okay, 32 teams in the NFL. Every single team in the NFL runs at least two starting wide receivers. 32 times 2, 64. All right, that's pretty high. But then you look at the people that are getting paid this money. Robert Woods is getting $7.6 million a year. Who would you rather have? I don't even think that's debatable. Kendrick Bourne, who Juwan Jennings was drafted and took the place of, is getting $6.5 million a year. Who would you rather have? Robert Woods at 6.5, Juwan Jennings at 7.7. That's a no-brainer. Curtis Samuel's getting $8 million a year. So you're seeing, okay, these are the two guys below. These are the guys above. And again, I took out the rookie contracts because those are different. These are all players who are on second or third level contracts. That is where the value is. And the wide receiver market is only exploding. It's not stagnant. It is not increasing. It is exploding. It's crazy. We'll talk about the Waddle deal here in a second. But let's listen to George Kittle. This was the interview yesterday when he was asked about Juwan Jennings and the value. You're looking at stats. Juwan Jennings ain't going to answer your question to you. So box score watchers, you're going to hate this. But Kittle, captain of the team, what is the value of Juwan Jennings to the 49ers?
Explain his value. I think every single person in NFL that watches tape, every general manager, every scout, anybody that watches tape, they look at Juwan's film and they're like, holy cow, this guy is one of one. His mindset and his attitude when he's on a football field is completely different. He goes to that dark place that Coach Shanahan would talk about with like Pierre Garçon. And he just is very violent in the way that he plays the game, which you don't see in all receivers. He will hit defensive ends as hard as he can. He'll hit linebackers as hard as he can. He's not scared of anything. And if you need him to win on a one-on-one rep, he's going to win on that one-on-one rep. He's got incredibly strong hands. And it's just when you can, for a guy that does it all, he runs the routes, he does the run game. He shows up every day, you know, loving the game with a great attitude every single day. And then you get the game day and he makes all those plays. That's someone that you want to be in your building. It's someone that you want to pay. That's someone you want to reward because he's just going to keep bringing that every single day and he's just going to raise the standard of everybody around him. So when you have a guy like that does everything, it's great for us.
It's a tone setter, you know, and it's funny because you look at the tone setters on offense. You're talking Debo. You're talking Juwan Jennings, you're talking Kittle, you're talking Trent Williams. These physical style, we're going to punch you in the mouth type players. You look at defensively, starts with Dre Greenlaw, Talanoa Hufanga, right? Diamador Lenore, Fred Warner, these hard-hitting, mean guys. That the physicality that the 49ers bring, they're going to protect that. And that's why the Kendrick Bourne to Juwan Jennings transition took place. That's why it took place. And so I don't know. I was shocked whenever I saw the number. I thought it would have been 1 to 2. I thought he would have got about 9 million. If you put Juwan Jennings on the open market, I think he gets 9 to 10 million a year. I really, really do. But he took a little less because he had that 1 year restricted free agent. And I think he likes it here. Positivity, man, he just exhumes it nonstop. Oh, what's up? We got some hat comments. Vince says, John the Hat is awesome, only to be gone against by Dave. I usually like your hats, John, but I'm sorry. That hat is trash. That's okay, Dave. I still love you, bro. And Vince comes back with, oh, not a 90s kid. Dude, it's funny. I'm a big hat guy. I have way too many. I have way too many hats. I can't wear them all. I love this freaking hat. And I'm past the point of carrying what anybody thinks of me. I said bye-bye to that long, long time ago. But that's okay, Dave. Dave and I are friends. We'll be friends. I'll buy you one, buddy. I'll send it to you. It'll grow on you. It'll grow on you. Now, yeah, you know, and I don't know, man. I love this. I absolutely love this. Because you're just preserving and rewarding guys that do it right. And so it's not like Juwan Jennings was entitled. He was a seventh round pick. He was a seventh round pick that they cut and then put on IR for the year and kind of had to go through this whole entire whatever and rebuild from scratch because he had that hamstring injury his whole rookie year. What does this say to people like Cameron Latu, Kalia Davis, Danny Gray, and people in the future? Look, man, like you just say, I understand your rookie year. You didn't get all this playing time because we redshirt guys here. Look at Juwan Jennings. Do you see Juwan Jennings? Do you know who Azeez Alshire is? Do you know who Emmanuel Mosley is? These are guys that we parked for a year, sat them down. Now they're on second and third contracts in the NFL. So, the building and rewarding of culture, there's like an intrinsic value to the culture that's created in a locker room because it's easy to get down. When things go wrong, everybody thinks they're going to be a superstar in the NFL. Nobody comes to the NFL and says, man, you know what? Probably just going to be there for 2 years and I'll duck out. Nobody thinks that way. But whenever you get to the NFL, especially a team like the 49ers, and you're not the golden child anymore, that's difficult. But you could point to, look at all these guys. It's okay. Your first year, whatever. Look at Aaron Bates. Dude didn't even play. There's so many examples of this is the 49ers way. So just because it hasn't gone your way so far, calm down. Calm down. It's going to be all right. Do the work. Put it in. Leave it all on the field. And the 49ers take care of their own. And whenever they trade players, or even cut players, they do it for their benefit. You look at the Eric Armstead thing. Look, man, we want you to take a pay cut. You don't want to take a pay cut? I hope you go make more money elsewhere. And he did. That was not a negative for him. DeForest Buckner, you can go back to that one. Look, Buckner, how much money do you want? Agent says it's going to start with a 2, meaning $20 million or more per year. John Lynch says, man, we're not going to be able to do that. So if you want to facilitate a trade where you can get that money, you get back to us. The agent and DeForest Buckner went and worked on the trade. I know he said he was disappointed and he wanted to be there. Well, yeah, he hasn't won a playoff game since he left. He got paid. Guess what he wanted? He wanted to get paid. We all make our choices. The 49ers do right by their people. I am pretty convinced of that. They're not like a lot of other franchises out there. Invader says, you know, Juwan Jennings is an investment in your culture. I love that. I really do like that. Right here, Chris, you always want to have a bunch of hammers in your toolkit, man. And for football, that is huge. That is huge. Right here, Slick. It says, JC, do you think Kyle will finally utilize Danny Gray or does he get cut? Man, Danny Gray, and I say this because I was there. Danny Gray had a great training camp. I thought Danny Gray was going to be our punt returner, our backup punt returner, and our number 2 kickoff return guy last year. behind Ray Ray. I thought he was number two. Out of training camp, I was like, ooh, this guy's got it. And I thought he was going to be the guy behind Ayuk. And I thought he was going to be our fourth wide receiver. I thought he was going to be the first wide receiver off the bench last year. Heading through training. He was awesome at training camp, man. I get it. Then he got hurt in the preseason game. And they parked him on the bench. And Ronnie Bell stepped up early. Chris Conley stepped up late. And I know we haven't seen it from Danny Gray. We really haven't. What's he got? One catch in his career? Haven't seen it. The tools are there. He's our fastest wide receiver by a mile. He has traits that nobody else has in this class. Maybe Cowie might be up there speed-wise. I'm not writing Danny Gray off yet because I've seen positive things in the 49er system. Yes, it was all at training camp, but it was padded practices, padded scrimmage. The dude was, he was balling, man. I'm not counting him out. I'm really, really not. The Cowie pick puts some, he's got to prove it. He's got to prove it. But if I had to bet on it, that wide receiver room is stacked. If Danny Gray, I'll say this, maybe this will help. If Danny Gray comes out and has the exact same level training camp that he had last year, I would take him over Ronnie Bell, and I would not look back. I understand they play different positions, but it's special teams player. I think he's way more reliable special teams-wise with way more upside wide receiver-wise. But Danny Gray's potential hasn't done it yet. Ronnie Bell has done it. We'll see. We'll see. Shot J, my man, what's up, Steve? Glad to see you. He says cap was a lot higher for Hargrave than it was for Buckner. Yeah, the $20 million deal was there for Hargrave, but that was 4 years later. Big time difference. $20 million in 2020 versus $20 million in 2023. Considerably different percentage wise. Hashtag inflation, right? That's where it is. Right here. Vicky, hey, what's up, sis? Do we know why Cameron Latu isn't at OTAs? He had a surgery. And, you know, that's kind of where he is. Let me load. I was going to do this on a separate show. I only get to have 50 videos, like, preloaded in this program, which seems like a lot. Trust me, it's not. I have a very difficult time deleting videos that I might go to. But here was George Kittle yesterday just talking about Cameron Latu and what's important for him moving forward.
I think, Cam has come a long way in his rehab stuff. And so, the most important thing for him is just get back on a practice field. And he'll do that during training camp. And he's doing a great job in the meeting rooms. He knows the offense. He's doing a very good job of just learning and understanding what our goals are. So, hopefully he can take everything from that meeting room and, apply it to practice. And he goes out there and plays at a high level.
That's what you're looking at. Like, this dude's got to get out there and practice. You know, he's learned everything, hopefully. You're sitting there hoping that he is. But now he's got to go do it. He's got to go do it. He's got to compete. You know, Vicky and I, we were sitting next to each other at training camp last year, and it was just embarrassing how bad Cameron Latu was. It was embarrassing. It was so bad because he's dropping passes in scale. He's dropping passes in one-on-ones. He's dropping passes in team on air. Then he gets out there and he gets a couple passes in, team, defense, offense. It's still dropping passes, missing blocks. And not missing blocks, but like going the wrong way and holding his hands on his head in the middle of a play because he went the wrong way. So you're hoping he got the mental stuff out of the way. Now he's just got to implement that. He did not look fast. He did not look quick. He didn't look big. He didn't look good. We'll see. That's where he's at now. But you're kind of moving forward, and he's got to shock. He's got to earn. He's got to do that. Training camp's going to be his opportunity. By far, one of the premium prime people that I'm watching as we move forward. Right here, Miguel, I think this is spot on, man. I don't want to talk bad about Latu. I can only shake my head. He's got to prove it. He's got to prove it. But he's going to get more chances because he was a third-round pick. If you flip the roles, if Braden Willis played the same way that he did, he would have been cut. but he's a seventh round pick, not a third round pick. There's a difference. And that's just the way the NFL works. That's not a bad or a negative thing. That's just the reality. Now, before we jump to the NFL and how other teams are handling paying multiple wide receivers, just a quick update. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. The five games that I will be at working: Vikings, Seahawks, Tampa Bay Bucks, the Bills, and the Cardinals week 18. Guaranteed, I will be at those five. Now, we are adding other games, especially the, you know, the Lambeau trip and the Miami trip. I just physically, personally won't be there. I have a team running events and we'll be organizing those, because when I don't go to the games, I get 50 plus emails. Hey, where's the Niners party at? And I have to send people to chapters parties, which is a good thing that I don't even know. And I'm not endorsing. I'm just saying there's a party here, go there. Sometimes it works out. And so I'm just like, man, why not just put together an extra event, even if I'm not there, where I know 49ers people will be taken care of. So even though Miami and the Green Bay games are up on the site, and you can buy into the tailgate, you buy into the night before rallies, all that stuff, I personally won't be at those two events. But we are adding a preseason. Nashville, baby. Come out and party. Right before the game. I don't have the time set yet. It's a night kickoff. But about, you know, 4 hours before the game, we'll be partying live. It's going to be at PBR Live in Nashville. And that's just kind of walk up to the door. We'll have like a $10 cover or something like that. But yeah, so preseason game, you want to come out. Got to be an absolute blast. Oh, Vicky, she says, I will officially be in Green Bay. That's what's up. The 49ers rush team is second to none. And Vicky's at the top of that list. She's incredible. She helps us with so much. Now, let's transition. And let's talk about how can you carry two very large contracts at the wide receiver position. Now, the 33rd team, they do some good work. They put out the top 10 highest paid wide receivers average salary per year. And man, it's funny because we used to talk about Debo's contract. You can see one more wide receiver gets signed. Debo's not even going to be a top 10 contract. He's in at number 10 right now. He's the 10th highest paid wide receiver, which, you know, people forget these deals when they get done. It's kind of eye opening. It's like, wow, that's a lot of money. But you wait a year or two and it's like, all right, that's kind of a deal. Debo getting paid as the 10th wide receiver is about where he should be. One to two more deals, Debo's going to be out of the top 15 highest paid wide receivers by the time the season starts. That's crazy to me. You still have so many wide receivers that are just sitting there waiting at their deal. So here's the top 10 currently. A.J. Brown's the highest, $32 million a year. Amon-Ra St. Brown just over 30. Tyreek Hill's third with $30 million. Jalen Waddle's fourth with $28.2 million. Devontae Adams fifth, $28 million. Cooper Kupp sixth with $26.7 million. Devontae Smith, $25 million at seven. Nico Collins, eight, at $24.2 million. DK Metcalf just passed Debo at $24 million a year. That's the top 10. Now, a couple things stand out real quick. There's two teams on this list that are paying two top 10 wide receivers. You got the Eagles paying the first and seventh wide receiver, A.J. Brown, $32 million. Devontae Smith, $25 million. Add those two contracts up. That's $57 million a year going to the wide receiver position. They're not the only ones. You look at the Dolphins, who are actually paying more with the number three and four with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Tyreek's getting $30 million a year. Jalen Waddle's getting $28.2 million. Add those together, $58.2 million per year. Now, the 49ers are in a little bit of a different spot, because now you got number three in there too. You got to bring in Juwan Jennings deal, which I don't have a problem with. So let's add up these deals. Just where the 49ers currently sit, right? Let's assume we'll play it both ways. We'll do it. Ayuk does not get a new deal versus Ayuk is getting a new deal. All right. Debo's got $23.8 million a year. That's number 10 overall. Ayuk is currently the 23rd highest paid wide receiver on that fifth year option, 14.7, right? And then Jennings is the 35th highest paid wide receiver at 7.7. You add all those numbers up, we're at 46.2 million. I mean, you're $12 million behind what the Dolphins are paying for two currently. All right, let's play the game. Let's say Brandon Ayuk gets $30 million a year. Whether he gets more or less, whatever. Let's just say it's $30 million a year. Nice round number. That put him number three overall. It's going to put him up there. If that happens, now all three of those wide receiver contracts, Debo, JJ, and Ayuk at $30 million a year, puts you to $61.5 million per year. That is literally $3 million more than the Miami Dolphins are paying two guys. And if you just want to do the Debo and Ayuk, those two numbers together, that's 53, and you're not even touching the Eagles or the Dolphins for what they're paying for two. It's 100% doable. Now, take a step back. Here's what's crazy about the Dolphins and the Eagles. They're also paying quarterbacks. Brock Purdy has a $1 million cap hit. Tua, even though he's about to get a new deal, has a $23 million cap hit for 2024. $23 million for Tua. So they're paying a quarterback and two top four wide receivers. Now look at the Eagles. I love Jalen Hurts' deal that he did with the team. It's by far my favorite quarterback contract. That and the Patrick Mahomes, incredible. Jalen Hurts, this is the second year of his deal, right? I think it's the second year. $13 million cap hit this year. That's it. You backload it. That's what they did. They backloaded it, and it's very cap-friendly for a long time. So you look at the Eagles paying two top seven wide receivers and a quarterback $13 million. They got no problem with it. Plus, they signed two offensive linemen. Like, they're paying lots of people. I don't think people understand how much the salary cap increased percentage-wise. It was like a 10% jump from one year to the next. And so everybody's operating under this idea of, wow, we were up against the cap then. The cap exploded. And with all this talk of an 18th game, new TV deals, it's going to continue to increase like crazy. The Niners are building upon that, especially with their void years. And they're banking on the salary cap increasing. They really, really are. Now, again, Brock Purdy's cap hit this year, $1,004,253. It's non-existent. And let's even play the game that Brock Purdy gets this gigantic $50 million-plus extension next year, next offseason. Who cares? But let's just say that happens. If it's built like Jalen Hurts, you're still not going to be at what the Eagles are paying their two top wide receivers and a quarterback. Still not going to be there. There's plenty of room, ladies and gentlemen, in this salary cap era. There's plenty of space for that. Not saying it's going to be easy. Not saying there's not going to be difficult choices. And for everybody out there that's saying, like, man, why are the 49ers waiting? They still don't have all their money. They get $18.5 million that they get to spend this year on the 2nd of June. It's not there yet. $18.5 million from releasing Eric Armstead. You got to wait till it clears the books. You don't get to go down to the cash advance place. Don't ever do that, by the way. That's terrible. Ugh. Anyway, predatory lending. You can't do that. I almost went off on a huge tangent right there. anyway. But, like, you don't have that money yet. It's not on your books. June 2nd, it is. I do think the IU deal will get done. It's going to happen. Now, is it going to happen August like the deals happen? I think it's going to be earlier. I'm going to say early July, personally. I think this deal for Ayuk will get done. I think it will. And the reason why, I got to go back to this. This is going to be the longest show I've ever done. I've got so much stuff I want to talk about. I'm going to take out the offensive line talk that I have built in. I'm going to do a full episode on that. Awesome interview with Chris Forster. He's one of my favorite Niners coaches to put behind the mic. Not that I agree with everything he says, but he's awesome. I'm going to do a whole line show. That's going to be another one. But We have these instances at premium positions where the 49ers want their cake and eat it too. They want the top level current status. Don't care about the cap contracts. We want it all, but we also want the future development. The players of tomorrow. We want both. You remember the Trey Lance trade where they went to Jed York and they said, look, we're going to trade a lot to get up here at number three and get a quarterback, Trey Lance. But we also want to keep Jimmy Garoppolo at this huge cap number. We want them both. We want the future and we want the now. And we're not sacrificing either for either. Like, we want them both. And I think they're doing the exact same thing right now at the wide receiver room. You've got Debo under contract. Oh, Debo's traded. Debo's traded. Debo's traded. Not traded. Oh, Ayuk's traded. Ayuk's traded. Ayuk's traded. Not traded. Well, what have you done since then? You drafted two wide receivers, one of which in the first round, Ricky Pearsall. You kept the two guys everybody said you were going to trade, and you extended Juwan Jennings. I don't think those deals are done. And I think Ayuk will get extended because the Niners and Kyle Shanahan, wide receiver is the premium position. I think Kyle Shanahan sees three premiums. I think he sees quarterback, wide receivers, and defensive ends. That's what he sees. And he will sacrifice everything for those three things. Man, look at the wide receiver room we have now. Brandon Ayuk, under contract. Debo, under contract for a lot of years. Probably just this year next. Maybe just this year. Juwan Jennings, this year next. Ricky Pearsall, 4 to 5 years with that fifth-year option. Jacob Cowing, Danny Gray. You know, and in the back of the round roster, guys, I get it. Trent Taylor, Ronnie Bell, Chris Conley. Like, wide receiver room, it was a major issue of depth last year. Not anymore. This wide receiver room is no joke. No joke. It's brutal how deep it is. I mean, how is Jacob Cowing going to get snaps? How is that dude getting worked in? That's something I want to know because, man, you are too deep at every single position. And I like Jacob Cowan. I really hope he gets some reps, but we'll see. We'll see. Right here, Robert says, you know, Danny Gray will be traded to the Steelers. I'm down because even if he makes this roster, he's two injuries away from playing time. But I wouldn't mind him competing with a punt returner. I'd prefer somebody like Trent Taylor, just shorthanded, all that kind of stuff. I love that. I love that. Oh, right here, Vicky, she says, dope hat. Yeah, the hat comments, they go to the top. Where did you get it? It was on Fanatics. I saw somebody post on it on Twitter, and I was like, ooh. And so, yeah, it was on Fanatics, and they had a free shipping thing right now, too. So usually I bunch my hats that I get, so shipping's always crazy, but they didn't have it right now, or at least whenever I bought it. So I've been wearing it around the house like crazy, no matter what. I don't care. Let's see here. Invader says, I think Ayuk comes in just under $25 million. Ooh, I struggle with that take. I hope you're right. Well, and I always struggle because I want all these players to get paid. It's generational money. But, man, if you're looking at $25 million a year, Devontae Smith got $25 million a year on the nose. Man, I think he's going to be higher. I really do. I think he's going to be just under 30. I think, you know, my prediction would be 28 and a half, which would put him above Devontae Adams and below Tyreek Hill. But with void years and all that different, I think the 49ers see Ayuk as a lifelong generational 49er. I think that Kyle Shanahan sees Ayuk as his Julio Jones replacement. I understand he's not Julio Jones, but he's playing the same role. And he can do it all. He can go vertical. He can get space. And a big reason why you go get Ricky Pearsall, not for the Ayuk role. Not for the Ayuk role. Invader Niner says, what percentage of the cap is too much for the wide receiver position? For Kyle Shanahan, I'm going to say that there is no limit. Mean Girls reference right there. There is no limit. The amount of picks, the amount of capital, Kyle Shanahan believes in the wide receiver position, and as long as Brock Purdy has this cheap deal, which is this year, but also next year, because the cap hit ain't going to be huge, and you look at the whenever he gets his deal in 2025, and then you look at somebody like Jalen Hurts, if that's the model, God, I hope they use that model. Because now you're 2 years into Jalen Hurts and still low cap hit. See what I'm saying? Like $13 million ain't bad. Not bad. Yeah, and the cap is going to continue to go up. Wait till they add the 18th game. The 49ers are betting that the cap number is going to keep shooting through the roof. The numbers are projecting that as well. The TV deals with, and I know we hate Paramount, right? And gosh, I probably should say this. Like, I'm not going to subscribe to Paramount for one damn game, but like that money, the NFL cares about TV deals more than anything, more than player safety, all those Thursday night games. Now you got Wednesday night games, now Saturday, Friday games. Those things are annoying as hell, but that's why the cap's going up. That's why the cap's going up. Yeah. Jason, I what's up, Jason? Glad to see you, Kevin. Easily best overall wide receiver in the room. Not even close. Not even close. And oh man, speaking of, I'm so excited about this. John and Wayne shows back next week, baby. So excited. Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Yeah, Tuesdays, 10 a.m. I think it's Tuesdays. Oh, I gotta make sure. Let me check my text with Wayne. We've been talking this week. I want to make sure we got it. Boom, ba da boom, boom, boom. Yeah, we're talking. There we go. Tuesdays. That's what we're doing. So, yeah, that's what we're going to be doing. Tuesday schedule, 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 a.m. or 1 p.m. His time, East Coast time. So that's going to be Tuesdays. And we're going to start with our NFC rankings where, you know, very similar to what you just talked about. We go through the NFC West and we're ranking every single position group 1 to 4. Okay. The 49ers have the best wide receivers and it's the entire room. This team has second, third, fourth, and then we keep those numbers and we break them all down, and that gives us the numbers for the whole thing. So next several weeks on Tuesday is going to be the John and Wayne show, which I'm so glad to have my buddy back, and it's perfect timing with the Celtics, Mavs, looks like the Mavs in the finals. Not there yet, but 3-1 lead, that's huge. We'll see what happens. Hey, what's up, Sin? How you doing? So, yeah. Oh, Invader, look at him jumping ahead. He says, I got the wide receivers with 6 making the roster. Ayuk, Debo, JJ, Pearsall, Cowing, Gray. Ooh, I'd be happy with that. I like that group. Chris Conley. I love Chris Conley, but yeah, maybe you go with Gray if he has a great camp. I ain't mad about that. Ooh, Shot J got another approval of the hat, guys. Says, love the hat. Reminds me of my days going to the arcade. Ooh, who knows about some Tekken 3 up in here, baby? Anybody? Oh, man, Tekken was a fun one. And I even way back before then, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, Blitz. Oh, the original Blitz. NBA Jam. Gosh, man, the arcade was awesome. Man, that was fun. Now, let's shift gears. We've talked a lot about what's going on there, but let's shift gears and let's talk some nostalgia, baby. Who is the best number 36 of all time for the 49ers? But before we do, if you want to support the show, this is the best way to do it. I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme. Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com. Sign up. Join the community. And plus, we got a 7-day free trial. So. All right, let's talk number 36. Now, this is a rough one. I'm going to start this conversation with the Barticle. We got to talk. Dante Johnson. Now, the problem with this is whatever criteria we set, we started at 1. We started at 0. Started at 0. Now we're at 36. This is a 2-year process. We're just going to keep going slowly. You got to wear 36. The problem with Dante Johnson is he wore 38 for 2019. Then he wore 27 for 2020 through 2022. So those 4 years, you don't really get a count in this conversation. Not that he would be the best, but that dude's just been around forever. 8 total years with the Niners. That's incredible. You remember Jimmy Ward and Dante Johnson were roommates at the Senior Bowl. Like these guys, incredible what they've done. And, you know, I remember for a long time, I wouldn't say his name. Number 27, that's why I called him, because I got so frustrated at the back end of his career where they kept making him play corner, outside corner. It's like, dude, this dude's not an outside corner. He's not. But they kept doing it, kept doing it, kept getting burned. But Dante Johnson, it's fun to look back at just what he was able to accomplish. Awesome guy. Oh, and, you know, something I want to look up real quick. I forgot to find all these for each one. One of the things that's interesting to me, always just talking kind of generational wealth and whatever else, this dude made $7.3 million in his career, being on the back end of special teams rosters and DB, whatever. So shout out to you, Dante Johnson. I hope one day he becomes a coach for the Niners. I would really like him around. I enjoyed the press conferences where we got to hear from him, and just seems like overall great guy. Yeah. Said good old reliable Dante Johnson, man. And I know we all chuckle when we hear that. But, you know, the Barnacle or whatever you want to call him, it's just, he was awesome, man. He was awesome. Marcel Harris, y'all remember him? He was around from 2018 to 2021, sixth rounder out of Florida. He was one of the many converted safety to linebackers. And we just keep building on that. Jalen Graham, Fred Warner, DFF. Jared Maiden, Marcel Harris. 49ers have done this with like six guys now. Never really worked out. He was a thumper. It's like he hit with his eyes closed. He either laid somebody out or completely whiffed all the time. And whenever he left us, he went for the Jets. Didn't catch on there with Robert Saleh, who was with him whenever we drafted him. Then he went to the Houston Texans with D'Amico Ryans, who was with us when we drafted him. And he's out of the league now, or at least to my knowledge. But yeah, Marcel Harris was a fun one. Jason Webster, I don't know if you guys remember this guy. 2000 to 2003, he has an 18 AV approximated value. That's his worth to the team and the time he spent here. He was second round pick out of A&M. Disgusting. But he played corner for 44 games in 4 years. Got his first start when Monty Montgomery got injured. A little blast from the past there. He was the first 49ers rookie since Tim McKeyer to get a pick six. That's fun. Career in San Francisco ended with a series of injuries to his ankle and knee. Kind of fizzled out. But he had a couple decent years there where he was a solid corner. That's Jason Webster. Now, let's go old school. Paul, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Hoffer, H-O-F-E-R, Hoffer. He was with us from 1976 to 1981. He has a 26 AV scale. So almost twice, you know, what we just covered. He was a part of the Super Bowl win, even though he didn't really participate in it. He was a backup running back that was kind of a fan favorite for a long time with the 49ers. Ran really, really hard, tough, physical, just mean running back. But he didn't really get a lot of playing time. He started 19 games in 6 years with the Niners. A lot of really bad teams. But then Walsh comes in, and he survives the transition. They loved just kind of who he was in the locker room, the presence, all those things, and was kept by Walsh. It was a part of the Super Bowl winning team, even though he never even played in the playoffs. He got put on injured reserve, had some injuries, and, you know, never played in the Super Bowl or that playoff run, but definitely part of the team. And retired shortly after. So, love that. It sucks when players are part of bad teams for so long. You want to see some success. And so, for Paul to be a part of that Super Bowl winning team, salute. I love that stuff, man. Reward those dudes that kept the storyline going and giving fans guys to root for. He was one of those guys. How about Shante Spencer? 2004 to 2011, 8 years with the 49ers. He had a 28 on the AV scale from Pro Football Reference. Second rounder out of Pitt, you know, cornerback, 8 years, played 98 games, only 11 interceptions, you know, no Pro Bowls, no All Pros, none of those things. Weren't really, he was just a solid corner. And there's a role in the NFL for guys like that, that, you know, just, man, I'm going to be there for 8 years. And I want to be your starting corner, predominantly on the left side. I know he got switched to right some late when we switched to a little bit more zone stuff. But Shante Spencer, somebody that I remember vividly as just a staple of the 49ers. And you got to have those guys. Now, it's been a while since we've had some kicker talk or punter talk. Next up, super old school, way before my time, Tommy Davis, 1959 to 1969. Nice. He's got a 50 AV skill. Now, he was a kicker and a punter, drafted in the 11th round from LSU. And he's kind of a, he was a way better punter. You know, going through, it's weird going back through kicker stats and punter stats. It's a trip from the 50s and 60s. But, hey, that's my job, and I freaking love it. I ain't going to lie. And I'm looking through his kicking stats, and I'm like, this dude was awful. And I was like, no. So he made 130 kicks in his career for the 49ers. It's a lot. But you look at the how many he missed, and I'm just like, whoa, 47% career accuracy for field goals, less than half. The NFL's come a long way. So I'm like, okay, hold on. Like, this is awful, awful, bad, bad. Was everybody this bad at kicking? Now, again, remember, he was a punter who handled kicking duties, right? Kicking was just the side, the gravy. So I start looking up. He's the worst kicker in the history of the NFL at field goal accuracy. Minimum 100 attempts ever. He's the worst. Punter, he was pretty great. He had an 82-yard punt one time. Which was the longest in the NFL that year, 82 yards. That's insane. Probably end over a kick, whatever. But and another positive, only missed two extra points in the history of his career. So that's Tommy Davis, played forever. He's on the decade team. You know, he's got his name on the wall in the locker room. So shout out there. But yeah, that's Tommy Davis. You got to talk kickers, got to talk punters, all that stuff. Let's see real quick. Just want to check through. And yes, you guys do not disappoint. The greatest number 36 in the history of the 49ers franchise. None other than Hanks, baby. Hanks, Merton Hanks, the legend and invader. That celebration by Hanks always made me rub my neck. The chicken dance, right? He said he got it from Sesame Street. You know, whatever. But man, I love Merton Hanks. And how do I say this? Yeah, I've shared my story about why I became a 49ers fan. You know, my stepdad, I did it to piss him off, whatever else. I remember vividly, probably, how do I tell this story and have a positive impact? Okay. I remember too much of this. It was after the 49ers won the Super Bowl. So 1994 won the Super Bowl, right? Next year, I grew up in Dallas. My whole family's Cowboys fans. We're playing at Dallas, a regular season game, 1995 season. They had Dion, right? They mercenaried him away. And we're blowing them out. We're blowing the Cowboys out. And I am the same person I was then. I'm talking trash. I don't care. I talk trash. It's my love language. I'm talking trash, period. I don't care what it is. If you want to play me in basketball, which I'm not good at, I'm talking trash. It's just who I am. I don't care. I will talk trash and bear the results, period. Now, if I lose, I'll take it. Like, I get it. But I'm talking trash, right? So anyway, 1995, I probably was, how old would I have been there? 13, 14 years old. And I'm talking trash. I'm in the living room. I know exactly where I was sitting in the living room. I'm talking trash to my stepdad. I'm talking trash to everybody. We're up several scores. It's second quarter going into halftime. And the Cowboys are driving before the half. We're up multiple scores. And I'm just laying it on, man. And I remember Merton Hanks gets an interception. And it was like a Hail Mary right before the half. Wasn't even a big-time play, really. It was kind of, you know, Troutman threw it up. Merton Hanks intercepts it, and he does the chicken dance. I stand up. I remember this like it was yesterday. I stand up, and I start doing the Merton Hanks chicken dance, little 13-year-old fat Chapman self all through my house, and I am just letting everybody have it. what happened next? I don't remember a lot. There was some physical contact that took place, and I was sitting in my room for a very long time, and I remember there were plenty holes in the wall of the living room where my stepdad threw Diet Cokes into sheetrock, which was awesome. It was so great. And so it was worth the punishment. I didn't get to watch the second half, but the Niners won anyway. I didn't have a TV in my room. But it was awesome. So, like, when I think Merton Hanks, I am immediately transposed to that location in River Oaks, Texas, talking trash to everybody, getting grounded for the. I didn't get to watch the second half. I was grounded for a very long time after that one. But I don't even care. I don't even care. I love this man. He gave me that opportunity. And it was awesome. Like 13-year-old kid, like triggering a grown man. It's what it is. So anyway, gosh, so awesome. Now, he was a fifth round pick from Iowa. And he's a Texas dude, very active with the Texas chapter, goes to a lot of their events, their barbecues and all. Anytime the Niners play in Dallas or Texas or anywhere close to there, he's there. Amazing guy for the community, loves the fans, great, just awesome human being. And he's from Lake Highlands, Texas. That's where he's from. Four Pro Bowls in his career, one All-Pro. He had a 72 AV skill. That's freaking pretty high. Now, what stinks is, you know, I was looking at, he was a three-time second-team All-Pro. Like, so similar to Joe Staley, where, gosh, if there was just so close to that kind of elite level, if he would have had four All-Pros and four Pro Bowls with the postseason plays that he had, you're talking borderline Hall of Fame career. But just being that second-team All-Pro versus the first-team All-Pro is huge. It's such a big difference. Part of the Super Bowl win in 94, of course, was with the Niners for 8 years, played 107 games, 31 career interceptions for the Niners. He was a ball hawk. He was a ball hawk. And I remember because he played corner at Iowa and was awesome, but he had like a slow combine. He was, and so they moved him to safety because they're like, yeah, he's just not a speed guy. And the Niners were stacked at corner at that time. And so put him at safety and it just stuck. It was awesome. Ball hawk, had two pick sixes. In 1995, I did not know this. In 1995, Merton Hanks was third for Defensive Player of the Year. First was Bryce Pop. Second was Greg Little with the Steelers. And third was Merton Hanks. Like, that's the type of year this dude was having. Almost Defensive Player of the Year type year. Even after the Niners, was the director of operations for the NFL for a while. He was vice president of player conduct. He's bounced around, very active, and just absolutely just incredible guy. And one of those just, man, I don't know. Whenever somebody says Merton Hanks, you smile, right? Like, I hope I'm not the only one. And I shared my story, but like, when you think of Merton Hanks, you smile. You think about beating the Cowboys, our last Super Bowl win, and just somebody that was just all out fun, unique. Everybody knows that dance, and makes me so happy, man. Just thinking about that dude. Let's see here. Robert says, "Hate the Cowgirls." Born and raised in Texas, I'm with you. I'm with you there. I'm glad you guys liked the story. Yeah, and it was totally worth it. Whatever punishment I got, I did not care. Robert, he's from Amarillo. All right. What's up, man? That's what's up. That's what's up. Oh, we got somebody not liking the Niner hat. Gary, he says, not Niners colors, looks like a Dolphins hat. Yeah, it's the old, like, pink and green and chartreuse or whatever. Chartreuse, man, you got a fishing picture. You know chartreuse. But, yeah, I'm not going to wear this to a game. But, man, ooh, wearing red all the time gets old. Yeah, I do it. But whenever I get some off-color Niner stuff for the offseason, I don't mind it. Miles says, love the hat, but I agree it's got a Dolphins feel. Yeah, it's the 90s kind of esque. Yeah, Miami Vice. That's what it is. Yeah, yeah, way to go. Well said, well said. So that's our best number 36 ever that I got. Fun one, man. This has been a fun show. Now, remember, again, if you weren't a part of the early part of the show, we're giving away two tickets to the Jets 49ers Monday Night Football game. Club level seats between the 20s, however many entries we get will increase the quality of the ticket. That's kind of what we do. So if you want to take part in that, head to the 49ersrush.com. We've got two options. You can get one entry for 20, or you can get three entries for $50. You can buy as many entries as you want, but we always want to give just a little added bonus, whatever else. You know, whatever we could do to just get more memories, more of that. And so being there for a season opener against Aaron Rodgers, who looks hobbled. I don't know if y'all seen that video. It's pretty rough. But anyway, we'll see. It's going to be a fun week one. Thanks for being a part of this show. Man, that was fun. I had a great time. Hopefully you guys did too. And I'm excited to see what's next. Again, we're doing our 91 roster series over on YouTube. If you haven't checked that out yet, go check that out. Wayne and Breezy show next Tuesday. Excited about that one. And we're just going to keep kind of doing our thing. But until next show, stay strong, faithful.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.